If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. masterclass.com/hardthings.
And we're back. And you're back. Every time. I just get so amazed and excited that you came back. Thank you. We keep throwing this party and there keeps being guests. And it's just my favorite kind of party because no one's really here at my home. It's perfection in every way. This is episode, you know, two of the week. We can do hard things. So, of course, this is the we can do easy things episode. We're just taking it easy breezy, as we always do, right, Amanda and Abby?
Yeah, that's totally your MO. Easy and breezy.
Yeah. Light. Okay. So what's up this week? I woke up this morning feeling very content because we actually have a house full of children right now, teenagers. So our oldest has a couple friends staying with us for a week. And so they were at our house. And then our middle had two friends sleeping over last night. And the younger one also did. So we had this house full of teenagers. And I remember sitting on the couch last night. We were playing some Scattergories game or something, charades of some sort, and thinking, oh my gosh, I was so afraid of having teenagers because the world scares the crap out of you about how much they're going to suck. But actually, I think that the teenage years, while there's been plenty of drama and trauma, is my vibe. Mm-hmm. I think it's my favorite parenting slice.
You're good at it.
I mean,
you really are.
Thanks. I mean, you know why I think I'm good at it? I remember a long time ago reading this New York Times article by this brilliant person who said that what teenagers need is just a potted plant parent, which basically means that once the teenage years come around, your job is to behave in all ways like a potted plant in the corner. Like you're there, okay? They need you. They think they don't need you, but they need you more than ever. But they need you in a very different way than they need you when they're young, which is they just need you to be there and quiet and not just inert. And maybe hydrating, but that's it.
Right.
Offering
nothing.
Also, until they call on you.
To be fair, though, sweetheart, there's a lot of stuff that happens that requires feeding said teenage children that requires your wife, Abby.
Well,
that requires me.
Well, every potted plant needs a wife, and I got myself one. But I just have this, sister, you and I have talked about this theory where, like, we're expected to just, like, love parenting. But that's ridiculous. Like parenting is too wide of an experience, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, actually, most of the people that I know, they have one time in parenting that they really vibed with. Like they either loved being pregnant. And then once the kid was born, they're like, ew, the good part's over. love babies or toddlers or preschool, you know, but it's like everybody matches one. Have you found yours yet?
I mean, I'm holding out. mine's just around the corner. I can feel it coming. It's just any minute now. No, I remember my mother-in-law is like that. She's also an older kid one. That is her preference. And I remember her saying, I mean, if I would have known what the top, she has five kids, by the way, one of whom is my husband and he is the fourth. And she said, I definitely would have only had two. Like,
oh my gosh. That's amazing.
So I'm saying it's very, I think the niche, I feel like saying I like parenting, or the expectation you'll like all of it, is being like, I like life.
Yeah.
Like no one likes all of life. It's just a very, it's all, so I feel like there's going to be a period upcoming. I'm kind of liking right now. Bobby's 9, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's like he's his own little person. He goes mm-hmm. and does things, but he still wants to play with me doing things. Sometimes like he's still interested. He's still cuddly. It's like this very sweet spot, but he's not like, he still wants me around a slice, but not like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
good stuff.
I can show up really well in small slices, and it's my maximum level of performance is small slices.
I think
slices.
God must have known my personality, because I think for a long time I thought that I wanted to have a baby of my own, but I actually think mm-hmm. that God must have known that that wasn't going to be good for me. That I think that the formed person, you know, 8 to 13, 8 to 18 now, 13 to 18 now, is the kind of my jam. Like I can have having the conversations, like not dealing with poopy diapers. Like I really mm-hmm. think that I got the best of all of the worlds. And I'm sorry that you all had to stay up so late with breastfeedings and late nights and stuff. Although you are getting payback now, babe. I do all late night driving.
Listen, every time the kids have to be out till 11, which is a terrible thing about teenagers that they freaking make. Every time I begin to feel guilty about allowing you to do the night shift, I think back on all of the midnight feedings and how you just geniusly missed
That's right.
them and arranged this so beautifully. And I do not feel guilty any longer. Okay. I loved so much our conversation about gender. And we decided that there were so many beautiful questions from our incredible pod squad that we saved them all for today. And we're going to get to as many of them as we can. So let's jump in. Let's hear our first question about gender. Actually, is our first question a write-in?
It is. It is. You ready?
Uh-huh. Ready.
Okay. Here's the first question. Hi, G. What do you say about this? I am a woman who is much more comfortable with men. Most of my friends are men because I find women to be so competitive and catty that I just can't take it. Thoughts?
My first thought when I hear this question, which I hear quite often in many different iterations, is that I want to call 911. I want to call like gender triage. I want to just like circle up all of the most wonderful women I know and ship them to this person and just bring her back to life. Because I can see what the world has done to her, and I understand it. I've seen some of that in my life. It makes sense, but it makes me sad, because what I do know is the most important, beautiful parts of my life are relationships with women. So, I mean, let's say this. First of all, I cannot say to you, although it makes me, you know, sweat and shake a little bit to hear people make generalizations about women, like women are catty and competitive. Okay. I do want to resist the feminist urge to just say that is bullshit. Okay. Because I understand what she is saying. Okay. Misogyny can manifest itself with women feeling like we have to be competitive with each other. And what I would say is that that's not inborn in women. It's not like we're born competitive with each other and catty with each other. Okay. If we are competitive with each other, or more competitive than, say, men are, that is because we've been born into a world in which at every table there are 12 seats and 10 of them are for men. Okay. And 2 of them are for women. And so, since life for us on this earth tends to be one terrifying, scarce game of musical chairs, we do tend to have to be competitive with each other for those 2 seats. Why are men more relaxed with each other? Because they just can be, because there's more space for them in the world, because they're not tokenized like women are. They aren't pitted up against each other like women are. So scarcity is placed in front of us as a reality, and we react to that in a very appropriate way by feeling like we have to be competitive with each other, because in fact we do. All right. The cattiness thing always gets me. And okay, here's my theory. I could be wrong, but not likely. Okay. As I always bring up, I was a teacher. Okay, I was an elementary school teacher. Thank God for many reasons. One of the reasons I got to see up close how we train little girls and boys in this world. Okay, I got to see it happen in real time in front of me. And what I want to try to describe to you right now is this scenario. Every time a little boy had an issue with another little boy, that little boy would be told to deal with the other little boy in an honest, straightforward way that they could work it out. Okay? The little girls, when they had problems with each other, everybody, every adult would lose their shit. The parents, the teachers, be nice, right? Like a little girl would say, Tammy doesn't like me. Why doesn't Tammy like you? Like, we can fix this. Everything was based on feelings. Girls over and over again were taught to swallow their own feelings to make the other person comfortable, right? To not rock the boat, to not cause any outer conflict, to be nice, okay? So little girls are not taught to deal directly with each other, all right? Mm-hmm. We are trained to swallow conflict, to swallow when people bother us, to swallow when we don't like people, God forbid we don't like somebody else, to act like we like them. But the truth always comes out sideways. If you can't say it directly, it comes out sideways. So here's the gossip. Here's the cattiness. Here's the whatever. What I do believe is that women would stab each other in the back less if when we were young, we were allowed to stab each other front.
That's really good.
Right? That's what men are allowed to do. They're allowed to say the thing, do the thing, work through it, be direct, and get through it. But women are terrified of doing that because the world has taught us to be terrified of doing that. So I would love us to be able to be more direct with each other, but that's something that we're going to have to decondition ourselves from because the world has trained us not.
Babe, I have to tell you something that I don't know if you know this actually. But I venture to guess that there's a lot of women listening to this that fancy themselves a guy's girl, right? And I think that that's, before I met you, I think that that's who I was. I think I was somebody that secretly, because I got this male acceptance and I got to the seats at the male tables, I was also a part of the problem that, you know, men would talk poorly about women around me and I would like let that happen. Mm-hmm. Men would, mm-hmm. I was like one of the guys, you know what I mean? And I think that, mm-hmm. we have to examine those kind of relationships that we have and why we have them. Because if it weren't for you to have pointed these things out to me to be like, whoa, why am I doing that? Like, I am a feminist. I'm like out in the world trying to help women secure more rights. But here I am inside of my own body actually believing that maybe women are just competitive, too competitive and catty. Because I've been sitting at the tables where that's what that was the information I was getting, right? So just examine the relationships you have. When I was traveling internationally for soccer, I didn't have time to come up with all sorts of travel itineraries when all I could think about were the matches we needed to focus on. But it was important to me that I saw the world while I was abroad. Viator can help with that in a big way. Everything from nature walks to guided history tours or adventure sports, all of it can be booked through Viator. Viator's a tool you can use to plan and book over 300,000 travel experiences around the world, no matter who you're with or where you're going. We've used Viator for family trips, and things like real reviews from fellow travelers really helped inform our decisions for which experiences to book. And because plans can easily change for a whole host of reasons, it was nice to know that free cancellation was available. So If you want to explore the globe or even your neighborhood in a new way, download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experience for you. Do more with Viator.
Also, I mean, I think we're disregarding the whole truth about gender, which is that it is completely hierarchical. Like that, like it is not you are either or. It is one is better and one is not as good. So so when you are saying you're a guy, I mean, that is actually the gender binary wasn't a binary at first. Like there wasn't a gender binary until the 18th century. Before that, many doctors just dictated that there was one biological sex. Okay. It was male. Women were inferior to men in that they had not properly developed. Their penises were tucked inside of their bodies. Legit, this is for real.
Oh my God.
So there was one ideal sex that was male, and then there was not male. Okay. Mm. Just like there was one ideal race, and that was white, and everything else was not white. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what people are saying, I mean, the whole idea of a binary started in the Industrial Revolution, where the separate spheres, and we had to say that women were domestic so that they would be in charge of what's at home while men went to work. Okay. But it was not at all, and value assessments were placed on that, because when we started to say all men are created equal, we inherently needed to say that women were unequal so that they would be denied and place biological and characteristics on them as inherent, so there would be a reason why they would not be allowed to have this equality. So anyway, what I'm saying is that, like, inherent in that is saying I am as good as. I do not, I am a guy's girl. I do not lack the deficits that are associated with other women. I, Abby, can hang with the dudes because I'm not sensitive. I am not whatever male is defined as. Female is defined as the opposite of that. It is not looked at. It is said male is superior and strong and powerful. Therefore, women is the opposite that. Mm-hmm. So saying that, there is, I guess, some truth and experience of that. For some people, it has not been my experience. The competitive and cattiness has not been my experience. But what I'm saying is people are saying, I can hang at this table. I am not like the average woman because I have swallowed the conditioning that makes me believe that the average woman lacks what the guys have.
And that is that on that. Thank you. Retweet.
Mic drop.
I love this write-in because I'm just obsessed with bad words in general. But my favorite write-in, which we got several times, was, can we discuss the gendering of profanity? And to that question, I say, fuck yes, we can discuss the gendering of profanity. Okay, language. Obsessed with it. Okay, obviously, for many reasons, but... And within this context, because language reveals all of our conditioning, what we say just reveals what we believe, right? And who we are. Okay. And so here's my issue with gendered insults is that they all have power attached to them, right? So I had this conversation with a dude recently, and he called somebody a pussy. And then he was saying, I challenged him on it, and he said, okay, how come I can't say pussy, but you all can call each other dicks? Or you can call men dicks, okay?
Because you're so frequently just calling people dicks.
Yeah,
all
the
time.
When did I call anyone a dick? Like, I don't think that I do that, but okay. Whatever. The point, what I tried to get at with this dickhead was this. All right, here's what I want to discuss. The word dick, okay? When we call someone a dick, we are usually referring to someone who is, like, overconfident. He's just wildly entitled.
Full of himself.
He's just full of himself. He has too much power. power. He thinks he has more power than he really does. He's just oozing with entitlement. So we don't call people who are expressing weakness, who are showing weakness, dicks or pricks, right? Dicks and pricks are folks who feel overempowered. Pussies, on the other hand. Pussies. We call people pussies when they are weak. Okay? When they are just crumbling with weakness, when they're showing vulnerability. We don't call someone who's feeling drunk with power a pussy. Okay? Pussies are weak. Mm-hmm. All insults attached to women's genitalia are weak, right? A pussy is someone who is weak, which means vaginas are weak, okay? A dick is someone who's strong, which means that we believe penises are strong, okay? And also, furthermore, on this topic, can we discuss the fact that most of the insults, the gendered insults we hurl at men, are actually insults to women, okay? Son of a bitch. I'm going to call you a son of a bitch, which really, all I called you was a son. I'm really out of nowhere insulting your poor mother somewhere, right? She's not even here. She's a bitch. Your mom's a bitch. Okay, that's what we're saying when we call someone a son of a motherfucker.
I'm just going to start saying, going after people.
Your mother's a bitch.
It's a bitch. You might as well. Motherfucker. Okay? Motherfucker. Okay, so how is that an insult to a man? All right, they call each other motherfuckers. Fucker, by the way, is someone who fucks. So that's a solid like a compliment. The only one who's being insulted there is mothers everywhere. You are so terrible that you fuck mothers. Okay?
Oh my God, I'm sweating so much.
I cannot believe our children are going to listen to this. It's so good.
I hope to God they'll think about their gendered insults after this conversation. Douchebag. Okay. You are so disgusting that what I am labeling you as is a thing that some women use to clean their body. Right?
Which, by the way, is disgusting because your body is already cleaning. A self-cleaning instrument.
Exactly.
You don't need any of
the
that.
Layers. It's misogyny inception. The layers here. Okay. So what I'm saying is, even when women are minding their own goddamn business, we're not even there. The dudes are insulting each other, okay? We're being insulted, right? And by the way, when I show up somewhere and do something awesome and brave, guess what people call me? Ballsy. Mm-hmm. They're saying to me, they are looking at me and they are saying, you are so brave, you are almost like a guy.
Yes. Right? That's right.
I'm not showing up like a guy. I'm showing up like a brave woman. But you're finding a way to even erase my womanhood in this moment. Right?
You know, you are so strong.
It's almost like you're a dude, you freaking douchebag. Right? So if a woman shows up bravely, she's a man. If a man shows up weakly, he's a woman. It's just...
And you know what pussy comes from? It's from the word... pusillanimous, which was a word that was just a descriptor for women. It literally was just what women were described as. Okay. So then it evolved, but it does mean woman. So there's that.
Oh my God.
Woman.
You know what?
And it means cowardly. It means cowardly, by the way. That word means cowardly. And then the whole female genitalia, the Latin word for that is shame. Okay. Shame.
One.
Pudenda. Shame. Okay. Shame. So you are cowardly and shameful. And I'm just talking about your genitalia. Okay.
Good God on earth. Okay. And I don't know what we do, by the way, because I love a good insult. Well, anyway, I had some feelings about gender.
Just a few. Language. Just
we
a
can,
few feelings.
We can.
I love. Reminder to put the little E on this episode. Also. Oh, yeah. How cathartic is it to say so many cuss words?
Oh my God, I love it so fucking much.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations and multiple systems, the more margin you have.
and the more of your hard-earned money you get to keep. But with higher expenses than ever on things like materials and distribution, everything just costs more. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. You'll reduce IT costs, you'll cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you'll improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, and expenses don't slow down, so why should you?
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/hardthings. netsuite.com/hardthings. That's netsuite.com/hardthings.
All right. We have another write-in.
Let's go.
You ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. You call yourself a feminist. What does that mean to you?
Okay. This word, I have actually been, babe, how much would you, I've been thinking about this so much lately. Okay, so much lately. And I am going to describe something that is a new thought for me. And so it might not come out perfectly, but I'm just going to do my best and just ask everyone to be full of grace. Okay, so here is what I've come to understand about what I mean when I say I am a feminist. And I'm sorry if it pisses people off. I'm not at
all
sorry.
Are you? Okay.
I'm not. I'm a woman, so I have to say I'm sorry. When I say I am a feminist, I actually don't think that I mean that I am on the side of women.
Okay? Ooh, that's going to be a... That's somebody's going to pull that and just run with it.
I know. But let me just say more things. Okay. What I mean, like the truthiest truth I'm trying to get at when I say I am a feminist is that I am on the side of whoever is getting most royally screwed at the moment by power. Okay? So what I mean is if I went into a culture where women had been oppressing and marginalizing men for millennia, I would be a masculinist or whatever the other one is, okay? I have come to this kind of deconstructing of what I mean by feminist recently with the phenomenon that I don't align with and that I don't understand, which is this idea of a TERF feminist.
What does that mean?
A trans exclusionary radical feminist. Okay. So J.K. Rowling.
Oh, okay. So that's the acronym example. Okay. I got it.
Right. So I'm sure you'll know who they are in a hot minute after we record this because they'll all be on our social media.
Come for
feeds.
Us. I don't care.
Actually, please don't. I do not understand why a group who has spent so long fighting for equality would then turn to another group who is fighting for equality and not wide open arms them to the movement. I don't understand the hypocrisy, the irony, the arrogance, right? You and I have talked about this at length, sister, and you have some amazing thoughts about this.
Well, I mean, the people who should be the biggest champions and empathize most, radical feminists with transgender women should be the biggest champions. But it is also the history of white feminism. I mean,
yes.
that hypocrisy and that lack of alignment with marginalized groups is all the way through the history. So basically, like where white women's status is perceived as threatened by the liberation of any other marginalized group. Feminism as a movement has historically always not only cast them aside, but actively, as the TERFs are doing with the transgender woman, actively lobbied against their interests because of this idea, not only of political expediency, but also the idea of what we talked about with the males and distinctiveness threat. You are a threat to the boundary on which I base my entire identity. Mm-hmm. And so in the case of, like, if you just look at the suffragettes, right? So Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who's like the one of the most celebrated suffragettes, she actually campaigned against, actively going around the country campaigning against the 15th Amendment, which would grant Black men the right to vote, because she saw that as an insult and a threat to white women's status, that Black men would get it before white women. Mm-hmm. She also, the basis that she used, okay, so the same way that TERFs are vilifying transgender people, the basis she used to do that was to say that this vile conception of Black men as potential rapists, right? Mm-hmm. That whole horrible thing that can, you know, continues to pervade culture is completely inaccurate.
And by the way, that's what they do now with the transgender people. Like, think, oh, they're going to get you in your bathrooms. Think about bathroom bills.
Right.
They're always finding a way to make the person who is most screwed by power seem like the predator.
Right. Which, by the way, I mean, you know, let's just acknowledge the fact that, like, Black people were being literally crucified by lynchings throughout this entire period, most of which were based on false claims that Black men and Black boys had raped white women.
That's right.
So she's leaning into this whole idea of them as a threat, which then threatens their lives.
Yes.
And by the way, sets up this whole notion of feminine fragility, which is saying that white women need these rights, not because they're equal, but because they need protection from this outside threat. Okay. So that happens over and over and over again. We finally get the 19th Amendment. We totally leave behind the fact that Black men and white and Black women were completely disenfranchised that whole time after we got it, right? So white women get the vote. We're like, sweet, let's celebrate. They're completely disenfranchised by voter laws. And we never look back again and do anything to help them, which is exactly repeating itself now, right? Mm-hmm. We elect Trump out. Phew, great. Thank God we're safe again. And all of the voting laws that are happening right now in the South after Georgia's historic show up in the last election, they're all being disenfranchised again. And we're just going on our merry way like, sweet, that's a relief.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, it's at the core of everything that white feminism has been and transgender and people.
So please just think carefully every time you hear one of your, a TERF or a lawmaker say, well, we have to protect women. You'll see this now in the sports conversation, right? Oh, we can't let trans kids into sports. You know, first, a minute ago, we were supposed to be scared of trans people in bathrooms. Right? That's what they were leading with. Now we're supposed to be scared of trans people taking over the sports.
I mean, where
world,
have they
right?
been so the, protecting us all fucking long?
Right. All of the people who are so suddenly, it's like whenever patriarchy finds someone to hate worse than women, they suddenly love women. Yeah. Like they suddenly want to protect us. Like I would love to see every single one of these lawmakers who's suddenly so interested in making women's sports fair. I would like to see the list of all of the other efforts they've made over the years to ensure equality in women's sports. So over and over again, women inside of sports are telling the world what they need to make sports fair. They need investment. Yep. They need to be paid. They need healthcare. They need, but all of that goes unanswered.
Don't be fooled, right? People. Don't be fooled.
Whenever they tell us that they're trying to protect women, it's always horseshit, right? They are not trying to protect us. any more than they were trying to protect us during the civil rights era. They're just trying to use women as an excuse to keep groups oppressed.
That's right.
That's it.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, let's finish up with what is quickly becoming my favorite part of the whole podcast, which is our Pod Squatter of the Week.
Hey, Glennon and sister, my name is Jim. I'm sure I am one of many men who listen to your podcast and who have read or listened to Untamed. It's an amazing book. You two are two amazing women, and I'm proud to say that I'm a feminist, and I'm also a gay man, and I think your book really resonated with me in that when you talk about the struggle of women and misogyny, the same can be said about gay men as well, and how we're, as a boy, we're raised to not be gay. You know, I'm 56 years old and, you know, my parents were set in their ways and I wasn't supposed to be gay. I was married. I have a son. He's grown. He's also gay as well. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, oh my gosh, the feelings, the things I feel are so deep. And sometimes I think, why do I feel so deep and so hard? I wish I could just shut everything off. I don't really have a question and I don't really know what to say, except I think I must be the male version of you guys. And I love you guys so much. And I love your podcast. And I just do. You guys are awesome. Keep doing good work. And yes, we can do hard things. And I woke up this morning with that song in my head. So I thank you, I thank your daughter, Tish, and I thank Brandi Carlile. You guys are great. Thanks.
I just want to end with Jim. You're beautiful. I hope you never, ever shut any of yourself down. We need more of that, not less, not ever less. Thank you, Jim. All right, like Jim, let's all remember this week, until we meet again, that life is really hard, but we can do hard things. Love y'all. I give you Tish Melton and Brandi Carlile.
I walked through fire, I came out the other side. I chased desire, I made sure I got what's mine. And I continue to believe that I'm the one for me. And because I'm mine, I walk the line. 'Cause we're adventurers.
Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are steeped in culture, history, and arts. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why it's great to partner with Travel Oregon. And when you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts. And this is a game changer. When we're traveling with my family, safety is always something that's on our minds. It's probably not one of the main things you think about when booking a trip, though. That's just one benefit of going with a guide in Oregon. They'll know where to bring you. They're passionate about showing people around, and they know that even adventure seekers like myself want to know that they're in good hands. Plus, you'll be supporting small businesses while having the time of your life. From biking to museums to culinary delights, best food ever, there's so much to experience. Learn more at traveloregon.com.